Good morning. Okay, it started actually in 1990 for me, and my thing about it was a little different. There was actually a young man that mentioned seeing it on clocks, and I wrote it in my notebook, but I promptly forgot all about it. But then all this other stuff started, and I was having just strings of dreams and coincidences that all seemed to be going together, and it was kind of a period of chaos, and then the part where I was just writing it all down and trying to make sense of it. And I'm going to try to do a brief overview and then come back because there's so much to this. But it wound up, I had a kind of a personal way with it. Nobody else seemed to quite have the same way that led me to Revelation 11:11 is what it's about. But later I got online. Okay, this is 6 years later, and almost right away I found this file that was connected to the Art Bell Show, but it was on America Online, and it was almost like I was guided right to it. It was way down in a bunch of folders and so on, and it was inside an Enigma folder, and it said 11:11. It had all these postings about we keep seeing this, 11:11 on clocks, digital clocks, in other ways, just like you described. And there was many of them. So this kind of fired me up to tell my story, which had started years before. And I would like to go into more detail about my story on it, how it led that way, because part of it had to do with these crop circles. In 1990, I had the dreams, the coincidences, and pretty soon it was studying mythology. I was being guided by these dreams and coincidences. You see what I mean? So I just went where the guiding went. I wanted to see if this actually meant something. So the thing to do is follow it, and you have to keep pretty much an open mind, but at the same time remain skeptical. So anyway, since 1996, I ran into Dee the following year. She's my fiance, and we work on the website together, and now we have this huge website, and we have these pages and pages about 11:11 and these other subjects. So right now I believe we have 8 different pages, and if you go to our main page, greatdreams.com, down a little ways, you'll see some of the information about 11:11, and then on the right side of the page, next to that, there's a link to the radio show, which we're doing today. And I've set a special page for that. I don't know whether you found it yet. Okay, and so the first thing I show there, besides the title and so forth, is this crop circle that's got, looks like an 11:11, right? And right, and there's a whole bunch of these types of circles. Sometimes there's just one set of boxes on each side, and sometimes there's two. And what they call the first pictogram, lower down on the page, I have what they call the first pictogram. What they mean by that was 1990. Prior to that, there was simple circles and rings that appeared, and then all of a sudden, this one appeared that they considered a pictogram, because it had rectangular boxes and pathways between circles. So, and by the end of the year, they had these grand ones that were like 300 feet long that had all kinds of multiple, things similar to this one on top. So there's a link there on the, if you click on the image, you can go to the page it came from. That's from Lucy Pringle, who has some of the best photographs, and I've got a little link there to her name that goes to her site. Okay, on this page, I give a little disclaimer because I wanted to point out that we're just researching and we don't have any definitive answers. And sometimes these things we're looking at come from questionable sources, to say the least. Sometimes people think they're, satanic or whatever. But all we're doing is gathering the information, and then we'll give what we think it might mean, but we don't know. So, but the thing is, we don't want to be held back from looking at something because somebody it takes a dim view of it. So, and well, I think it's different for everybody, so it's hard to say, but I would say generally speaking, people think it's what they call a wake-up call to pay attention. So it could very well be something is going on. What I think is, from my experience and other reading, that things that are symbolic, that are related to dream symbolism, in other words, you may have dreamed these, happen all the time to us, and that we see, but we don't recognize it. We're not awake to it. You know what I mean? We're kind of asleep to that side of our world. So it's kind of a general wake-up call. That's what most people think. Now, there's other people that give much more significant to it. It's about this big world change and so forth. And I tend to agree, but I think it's more than just noticing that. And what I really think it is, most likely, besides what the connection to Revelation 11:11 to me, and I'd like to give more details about this as we go into it. There's a bunch of interpretations of what those lines mean. Obviously, you know, to religion, that religion's 2,000 years old or so. And but in my particular one, it made it very clear that it's mainly about the leap to the heart chakra of the human race. That the title of the main page I have on it is called Humanity on the Pollen Path. You'll see some links there. There's a shorter version I sent out in an email that's a little bit confused because it's so old, and because it was an email I was responding, that covers the same story but more briefly, and a lot of the links don't work and so on. But so this idea of it being related to the chakras, okay, for people that don't know about it, it is said in the East, you know, in India and those kind of places, that there's seven energy centers along the spine in the human body, with the soul is attached to the body from those points. And it goes from the lower chakras down near the base of the spine on up to the top of your head of the crown chakra. And the key verse in that on Revelation 11:11 is that the two trees, the two olive trees, they are killed and lay dead in the city for 3 days and a half, and then a breath of life from God enters them and they stand up on their feet, and a great fear fell on those that saw them. When I read that, there was all kinds of these coincidences popping in, because first of all, there was an incident of two trees shaking in England and a crop circle appearing next to it in broad daylight, and for no apparent reason. It was a soccer match in Oxfordshire. Not many people know about this because it was just a newsletter from over there. And right, yes, and everything seemed to pivot on this Revelation 11:11 after a while, and it just kept going on and on and on, and had tremendous coincidences about this. Of all the coincidences, that one is the most by far. And, you know, if I had a rating, that would get a 10, you know, and like I'm quite sure this is, you know, something to this, you know. But anyway, given an overall view here, when you get down on this webpage, hopefully there'll be quite a few people that will be able to access this. It comes down to an outline, and it starts with the 11:11 coincidences, and then there's one that says reports. If you click on that, it goes to the page that we started putting up from those in reports in 1996, and it goes on up until more recent years, and they're just people that have written to us or posted on the subject. Now, this thing about what are we going to wake up to? We hope that we have quite a bit of the information on our site, just as generally what it is we're waking up to, which is this big earth change. Our site is called Dreams of the Great Earth Change, but on the welcome page we tell how that this is related to many other subjects. So I try to give an overview of the subjects here. I know we can't cover anywhere near all of them today, but I put this part about the two suns, and there's a pretty large page on what does it mean. That means the 11:11. And there's three main things I want to cover on that, hopefully today, at least maybe more than three. Maybe I'll do that right now. Okay. At the beginning of that page, and I made that a couple of years ago, and it actually started out as an email. I was trying to get on the big radio shows, coast to coast or whatever. I never got an answer. The end of the Mayan calendar has been a big subject for quite a long time, and the date is given by, I guess, the best interpreters or most generally accepted for the end of that calendar, which is the most sophisticated calendar in the world, they say, is December the 21st, 2012. And this fellow that has a 2012 website, he found out and informed me and others that it just so happens it is on at 11:11 a.m. Universal Time. Now that's pretty amazing. Right. And there's other strange things, like if you put December the 21st as 1221 and divide that by 11, it comes out 111. And that's what we call the triplets. And I have a whole thing about the triplets. There's some of it on that page, and then there's a more in-depth one on a page that's called Awakening Lazarus. You'll see that also. That was made, oh, I think a year and a half or so ago. Then I have the part about the leap to the heart chakra. Okay, excuse me. Let me go back to the three things. The one was the end of the Mayan calendar. And by the way, crop circles have been speaking of this pretty obviously. They're showing like the Aztec or Mayan calendar, like the Sunstone calendar. And I've got quite a few links here to that down lower on the page. The other item was Stan Romach's equation. Okay, this is on the sightings site. It's another radio program. And this guy named Stan Romach, he claims to have had these communications from apparent ETs or whatever. And he started making these diagrams and writing down these equations. And he claims he doesn't know anything about, has no idea whatsoever. Anyway, these things are pretty amazing because they seem to be equations we know something about. Like an element 115 that Bob Lazar has talked about on some of these programs. It's supposed to be the propulsion device. It seems to be a little bit about that. And then he's got Drake's equation. That's one of the astronomers that came up with the equation of the as an estimate of how much intelligence life in the universe. But the most important thing he has is this diagram of the constellation of Orion. And how it's connected by a wormhole to the planet Earth is what it basically amounts to. One of those diagrams is on a hypercube, and it shows Orion turned upside down as you would see it in the southern hemisphere, and a wormhole, apparently what it means, to the Earth, and as it shows the Earth within the planets of the solar system, and by the way, it shows an extra planet, like the 10th planet. And you can see where there's a little arc where the asteroid belt is, and so on. Well, this seems to tie into this 1111 by this Solaris 1111 doorway material and some other things. Have you heard of her? Okay, she claims that these ideas came to her, and she took the name Solera. I don't know what her real name is. But like if you do a search, her site is likely to come up first or near first. And she calls it invisible. And I explain some of that on these pages. And that first link there I have after the reports on this page, Solera's 1111 doorway. She claims that on January the 11th, 1992, this doorway opened in the belt of Orion. Okay. And that it was going to stay open for about 20 years and then close. And mankind had to pass through this to reach this greater sun system. By the way, you told me in our previous conversation, not on the radio, that you dreamed of the sun and it looked like an eclipse. Right. And this is part of the symbolism. Down there a little ways, you'll see the two suns, and it's often related to this 1111. And right away, when I did my original posting of that email about Revelation 11:11, I was going to put it on to a mail group that I belong to. But before I started, I read the emails, and one of the emails, the guy dreamed of two sons. And so it was coincidental, because in the report I mentioned the symbolism of two suns, and it's actually based on the sequel to 2001 Space Odyssey, where there's, you know, 2010 it's called, and there's two suns at the end of the movie. Because part of the things we need to wake up to is that the things around us, especially arts, in other words, all the movies, the songs, the artwork, and so on, carry symbolism from the dream world. And the artists are actually equivalent, today's equivalent of the shaman in the old days, the shaman, like the medicine men. They were the ones connected to the dream world, and they brought messages from the dream world in the form of music and dance and stories. Right, that is what I call a dream coincidence. That, and this thing about fire from the sky, it's, okay, on this page I created here, below the outline I've got help pages. And the first one, if you click on it, it's for a sight search of great dreams. So if you put down fire or fire in the sky or, you know, different combinations of your dreams, you may find something that we've written about it. And we have a page called, let's see, Hall Fire or something like that. It starts out with a dream I had, and it has to do with different things about fire and events in the sky. So that may connect. And one of the symbolism of it is, okay, you've heard of the four elements of fire, air, water, and earth. Those are universal type symbolism that find all over the world. And they're related to different things in the Bible also. And Carl Jung, who was a great interpreter, have you ever heard of him? And of course, if you look him up, people that don't know about him, he's pretty famous. He teaches system at universities, but he was really into the symbolism, and he came up with a lot of terms for it, and he also came up with the term synchronicity, which is very similar or the same as coincidence, that these things are meaningful. And anyway, he, you know, did a heck of a lot of studies, and he says that these four elements are equivalent to psychological functions of human beings, and in descending order from above down, it's fire, air, water, and earth, and they correspond to inspiration, that's for fire, and then air is thought, water is emotions, and earth is sensations. So I put a little bit of that on the page that it seemed to fit in, because I saw a Pegasus in the sky as part of my dream when I visited the Great Hall. It was a lucid dream. And I found later, these scholars say the Pegasus represents inspiration. You see what I mean? This other young man that I know, a friend of my son's, he dreamed of the earth rolling downhill in the sky on fire. You know, yeah, right. Okay, this was actually before my main experience started in 1990. So it's back 8 years before in 82. My son was 11 years old. And I was surprised by this dream that he had where how'd this start? That he saw a piece of the sun fall off and come down to earth like a big fireball. And he saw this out the back yard of where we were living at the time, which was San Jose, California. And it landed down in a field and caught a car on fire and some brush on fire, and it was spreading this way. So he ran out and he told me and my wife, and you know, in an excited voice, and we had to get my nephew John, his cousin, out of the bathroom, and then he ran out to the front door and opened the door, but instead of being our neighborhood, it was his mother's neighborhood all of a sudden, and all the buildings were covered in white. And so finally we got everybody outside, and these two police cars pulled up, and one policeman got out, and then he helped somebody else get out, I think another policeman, and then this woman got out that looked like a prostitute. And it took me years later to realize what that probably meant. That there's a harlot in Revelation 17, and it represents this karma thing, which is the same, I believe, as judgment in the Bible. In other words, what we sow, so we will reap. And part of the symbolism of this is police or security guards and that sort of thing, and the whole court system, actually. And that whole thing is in ancient times tied into all these numbers and things. In other words, metrology. And just like in the judgment hall in the Book of the Dead, it shows the heart weighed against the feather. And our judgment, Lady Justin holds the balance scale. And in Revelation about the black horse rider, he holds a balance. This is a scale. And there's parts of the Bible that says every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. And there's another part where it talks about how the Lord has weighed the heart of the king of Babylon and not found it very worthy. So it's been almost a constant everything every day for 15 years, just about. I mean, I've lightened up a little bit more in recent times, but it was just, other than I have to go to work and support a family. But at the time this started, I was actually in a pretty good position because my wife and I broke up at the time. It was my second wife. And my boys were old enough. They were kind of doing their own thing and so on. And in fact, my older son was off to college. And so, I didn't need to spend a lot of time with them. So I had the time. And it was just a driving thing, So yeah, lots and lots. And some of these things, I mean, it started years ago, and it might be 5 or 6 years, and you'll finally find something. Oh, there it is. That's what that means, or it seems to be. So it took quite a bit of time. And the way it is now, it's just like puzzle pieces. We've got part of the picture. And part of the idea of our whole website is to try to get more people involved if they're interested and try to put more of the puzzle pieces together. And, we're just two people, and there's other people that are kind of connected to us through dream groups and so forth. So, okay, the Base 10 system and so forth. My answer to that is I'm not really sure how this came about, but my guess is this, that all over the place, what's coming out now is that the ancients had much more knowledge than we've given them credit to. And this thing about the calendars and the clocks and the numbers are found out throughout these cultures in the past and are very similar. That's part of what our number page is about. I have some links there. And the myths of these different places were very similar. For example, this 3.5 out of the 7, the midpoint of the chakras, it's like a universal elementary idea. And Jung spoke of these type of things as archetypal ideas. So here's the answer. I believe that a lot of this came from the dream world to these ancient peoples in their own manner and their own custom, and they paid a lot of attention to it. They were probably way more into dreams and visions and this sort of thing than we are, and therefore they picked up all this knowledge and information. Now, I think there's an intelligence behind this, I mean, called God or creator, whatever you want to call it, and it has a certain direction, and we're not supposed to, the human race was supposed to go through this cycle and at the end of it start to figure things out, okay? So these people may not have understood what they were getting at all. And for example, they built, let's say, the temple at, or the pyramid at Chichen Itza, where the sun shadow strikes on the stone. It looks like a serpent. You ever seen that? That sort of thing. And, how did they know all this? And the thing is, I believe it's related to dreams. Because for one thing, I've had dreams of these, and other people have had dreams. I could give some really good examples of this later on, maybe, of these same numbers coming out in dreams. And I had the dream of what I call the Gematrian wheel. And it's part 4 of those pages about Code of the Ancients. where I tell all about the dream. And the way this came out was this wheel at 360 degrees with these, it was basically divided into 10 parts of 36 degrees each. That's what it amounted to. And it was similar to a generator generating in a magnetic field, causing sine waves. And, you know, the peaks and valleys of these sine waves is where these numbers are. So people are now having these dreams related to this and coincidences about it. And so I think the ancient people had picked up on this and considered it very important, like it's from God or, you know, their gods or whatever it was, and put it down as best they could in their own fashion of what they had. So that's kind of my answer, that no, they didn't have clocks, but they definitely were the most, had the most sophisticated calendar, they say. You know, like our calendar has to be adjusted by leap years, and there was times where it got way off and they had to skip a bunch of days and, you know, and so forth. So they were way ahead of it. Plus, they're supposed to be the first people that came up with the concept of zero. And on and on. But that's kind of my general answer. And it's just a theory. I don't really know for sure. But it seems to all be coming out now, showing us what these mean. And part of it is to follow this dream coincidence. One thing I wanted to kind of pick up on, a couple of things that slipped by about the fire part and this Joshua and Zerubbabel back in Zechariah. These were the two anointed. In other words, they were the high priest and king. It wasn't the same Joshua that it was at Jericho. This was the high priest and king. He's actually called a governor because he was under the rulership of Babylon still, this Zerubbabel. And they're the ones that rebuilt the temple when the Jews returned to Jerusalem. So that's what it's talking about, building the house, the foundations of the house. And the Masonic people and all them, that's what their symbolism is all about, with their little, you know, trowels for building, you know, bricks and so forth. The underlying thing is about this rebuilding. They talk about Zerubbabel and their rites. I've never belonged to them, but I have read some of the material because it's online now. The other thing is about fire. In Isaiah 4:4, it says, the filth was cleansed from the daughters of Zion through a spirit of judgment and through a spirit of burning. Okay, so like I say, I believe judgment and karma are very similar. And so it again seems to say this fire symbolism is a purification process, I believe. And in that particular case about the daughters of Zion, I believe this is related to our feminine aspect in the time cycle, which is the daughter of the harlot. Okay, it talks about that in the Bible, which causes us, who are called the kings of the earth, to become drunk on the wine of the harlot, and we walk the winepress of the fury of God's wrath. In other words, this Babylon actually represents this cutting and dividing force where we get angry, and, you know, it's like an altered consciousness of this being drunk on that type of wine. And so you have this main harlot who is seated upon many waters, it says. And then a little later it says, the waters that you saw where the harlot is seated are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So this is a thing that pervades over the whole world during this time cycle about this karmic influence. And each of us have our feminine aspect as part of us. And it actually is the same as Eve, in the sense that Eve represents a part of Adam's soul, and it's only a rib-sized portion, meaning that we have a much greater male aspect than female aspect in mankind. And this is part of the aggressive and male gods and, you know, all this thing. Well, the feminine side is making this comeback, and that's part of this two-sun symbolism where it will become more balanced. But anyway, the exchange is going from being with the daughter of the harlot to the replacement is the Holy Spirit, which is in a certain level of cases is a feminine aspect. So, and that will be a great positive thing. That happens at the heart chakra. In other words, that's what I believe all this means. And that is why Isaiah 4:4, the filth was cleansed from the daughters of Zion through a spirit of fire and a spirit of burning. And it's pretty hard one to answer straight out, but yes, I think there is something to that. I don't know exactly how the effect will be, But in my dream coincidence things in the crop circle, it seems to be connected to this idea of communion. Okay, for one thing, okay, and in this thing, the myths or in the legendary type stories are very important. In other words, it doesn't matter so much if they're actually true, okay? Where most of the crop circles appear, especially the complex one, it's in what they call the Wessex Triangle. Some people call it, what is it? There's Avebury, or the Aquarian Triangle. And it's right around Stonehenge and Avebury Stone Circle and so forth. But on the one corner of it is Glastonbury. Have you heard of that? And it's a pretty famous place in England. In fact, they have a lot of meetings about crop circles there. Well, the legends there is that's where the Holy Grail was taken to. And this was started, the basis of these Holy Grail stories way back around the year 13, 1400 or whenever it was. Yeah. Okay. Okay. One corner of this triangular area where all these crop circles are appearing is this Glastonbury Tor. And the legend is that Joseph of Arimathea, who was the one who took Jesus down from the cross, and he caught some of the blood into the cup, and this eventually, he was 42 years in prison, and there's one of those numbers again, right? Eventually wound up at Glastonbury, built the Glastonbury Tor, and they've got this chalice well there, and the legend is that the grail's at the bottom of the well. The thing is, there's many, many other stories about what the grail is and so forth, and a lot of people say it's different for different people and different times and for different groups of people and different ages. And there's this new thing now, you probably heard the Da Vinci Code and all this sort of thing, and you know, Holy Blood, Holy Grail, and all that stuff. We've got quite a bit of that information, and I'm not so sure how much of that is actually true, but I think the legendary part is important. And these crop circles, I think that it's not an accident that that's there. Now, on that Lazarus page I was talking about, there's a part that talks about the pattern that appeared at Old Sarum. And the coincidence seemed to say that that is related to this cycle of time, symbolized in the Bible by the frightening image seen in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And it's got a head of gold, breast and arms of silver, belly and thighs of bronze, and legs of iron, and feet of part iron, part clay. And this matches the same metals that are in the Hindu yugas, which means the ages. We're now in the Kali Yuga, which is the age of iron. And it's also the age of death, destruction, creation. In other words, it's seemingly negative, but it's a learning experience. But anyway, when I looked up things about Old Sarum, this was a very important place in history, especially symbolically. And they have a special communion rite there that it basically kind of follows the idea of the seven rays, the seven chakras type thing. But I mean, it's a Christian thing, right? But it was very special. And here this crop circle appeared there. Yeah. So what I believe this is related to, in my opinion, because people take the communion as you become part of the body of Christ, meaning that part of the church, right? But it also has these spiritual meanings. But what I think it is, it also has this bigger level of humanity. When we reach the heart chakra level, we've reached the Christ self level. In other words, he was like the prototype where we... or have our aspects in balance, then, you know, we realize our connection to others and we have more love and forgiveness for others and so on. And we become part of the body of Christ, meaning that one level of Christ is humanity united in this one body, like almost like it's a God composed of humanity. And there's kind of a precedent for that in a word called the Demiurge. Have you ever heard of that? And I have some material about this on my site. I had different dreams and so on. And it's actually symbolized by the swastika, which can be made of horns or by these right angle squares, which are builder glyphs, like like carpenters use to, measure the corners if you put four of them together. And there's actually verses in the Bible that I think clearly seem to refer to this, that these four horns or these four smiths, it's also in Zechariah, they scatter the nations, and then these four smiths or carpenters come and throw down the four horns that have scattered the nations. So the swastika is going to the left, in other words, counterclockwise, then it has a negative aspect. But I don't believe these negatives are actually on evil. I think they're about this difficult time cycle that we may perceive as evil, but it's actually part of this learning process, this karmic process. But eventually, we'll be going clockwise, and then that has a positive meaning. And one of those showed up in the crop circles this year also, I believe, or seems to be related. I've got some pages. Well, there have been a number of those, including one in 1989 that was called a swastika circle. In other words, it was a very early one, and the dowsing pattern within it matched what they call the New Jerusalem plan, which is very positive. That's seen by St. John in Revelation 21. And a whole bunch of the crop circles this year seem to be about the same thing. And it's kind of interesting because last night I was listening to Art Bell on the Coast to Coast, and he was talking to Stan Friedman, the UFO researcher, and somebody called in and they talked about this UFO that became the New Jerusalem, and what are you talking about? Don't know anything about it. Well, the crop circles this year were completely full of that, and I got a letter from a guy with a doctorate degree that has a place in Jerusalem where they're talking about the New Jerusalem plan. And they believe that it's actually been found in the city itself of Jerusalem, spread out over the whole city. All you have to do is measure it, like it tells you to do in Revelation 11 too. John measured the temple, on the court outside. And so if that's true, that would settle a controversy because some strictly Jewish type people, messianic type, they believe that they have to rebuild Solomon's temple, and in order to do that, you have to tear down the Dome of the Rock, which is this Muslim site, would cause the whole Middle East to blow up. So, the country of Israel don't really want to hear anything about it. But these people over there, and I'll put some links on this, say that it actually already exists as part of the city. We just needed to find that out and measure it. One other thing I wanted to go back and catch on, you mentioned the number 23. I'm going to add a little part that I've got to this page of the radio interview where it talks about the 3.5 symbols. One of those is the 23 years, because what it is, there's this universal number 84 that covers all these time cycles, and the 23 years comes out to 23 times 365 days plus 5 days equals 8,395 days plus 5 days equals 8,400 days. See, that's because you have all the different leap years and so on. So there's the universal 84. Okay, the 3.5 hours of Revelation 11:11. That's the 3.5 days. I mean, that's 84 hours. You know what I mean? So each in the 1260 and the 42 and all these. Their common denominator, so to speak, is this 84. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. I didn't get to the really big things about the heart chakra idea, but how much more time do I have? I know I'm going to be cut a little short here. Okay, you have to read that Pollen Path article, and there's several parts to it. And then one of the big coincidences was Pablo's dream, Pablo Santiago, and it had this 3.5 symbolism. He had sent me the dream before any of this had happened, and when I went back and checked it out, it totally matched it. It was about 35 years and these seven psychological things coming and so forth. And the date he dreamed it was January the 11th, 1992. That's the exact date Solaris had this doorway open in the Belt of Orion, the 11/11 doorway. The other thing is about the Sirantra, Sriyantra. There was, I don't know whether you heard of it, but a giant pattern appeared grooved into a lake bed in Oregon in 1990. It was spotted, I think, in August by these Idaho air pilots. And it came out on the news in on September the 14th, 1990. I didn't know anything about it until later. And it was actually 3 years later till I that it all kind of came together in 1993 in March. And I was doing an outline about this heart chakra at that time. And it came out that I had drawn that pattern the day before, or at least the inner part, the star part. There's a very complex 14-pointed star that starts out with kind of a Star of David. And that I had drawn it the day before the news story came out. And the part that I drew, the outside of the star, represents the heart chakra in that system. See, it was very specific verification. Now, that pattern grooved into the lake bed was 13.3 miles. And I've got some links. They've got some pictures of it, some near the ground and some up in the air. And I've got more about it in these 2005 crop circles. The latest articles I did was this 2000, the interrelated 2005 crop circle. So you can find it through a search, and I'll put a link here. And I do too. Well, hopefully, maybe we can get on another time. It's up to you. Yeah. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.